This is the Lean Leadership Podcast. Equip yourself with the tools for success in your team's lean journey by learning from the world's top lean professionals. Listen at the risk of improving with your host, Chris Burnham.
Hi, we're on the road this week, but wanted to make sure that you still got some of the great podcast content that you're used to receiving. Today's guest is one of the kindest people I know. Her name is Karen Ross. Over the past few years, our guest has noticed the devastating effects that failures of leadership and failures of kindness have resulted in all over the world. So she decided to do something about the problem. As well as writing a book about kind leadership and starting the new school for kind leaders, she is the founder of the Love and Kindness Project Foundation, a global registered public charity. Karen is also the co-author of The Toyota Way to Service Excellence, Lean Transformations and Service Organizations with Jeffrey Liker. Here's our guest, Karen Ross. We touched on who you were in the intro, but can you tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are and your background, and how is lean or continuous improvement a part of your life?
Sure, Chris. And thank you so much for having me on the show. So as many people know, I've done a lot of different lean things. Some of the things that people might not know is actually the reason that I learned lean was that I worked in a payroll company as a frontline customer service representative, and I took care of 300 customers. And I heard the voice of the customer loud and clear in my ear, and oftentimes it wasn't a very happy voice. And I realized, you know, there's got to be a better way to do this work. And through a whole bunch of different things, I learned about lean. I taught myself a lot of things. I had a lot of wonderful help along the way from people. And here I am about 5 years ago, I started my own business, which I absolutely love. And I also, as well as the lean work, have a foundation for kindness called the Love and Kindness Project Foundation. And Women in Lean, which is our group for women lean practitioners, we're 900 and something global women around the world. So that's a little bit about me.
That is awesome. I have to say, I've been a fan for a long time. I said before we started, I'm a little mad at myself that I didn't initiate this conversation earlier, but I'm glad you're here today. And I think the listeners will really appreciate what you have to share. Before we get started, we always ask our guests to share with us a quote or a mantra from one of their favorite leaders. So can you share with us what your quote is and why you chose it?
Well, the quote that actually I chose for today is going to be a quote that I think that we're all super familiar with in the lean world. And that is, be hard on the process and be soft on the people. But I'm going to change a little bit. And I'm going to say, be hard on the process and be kind to the people. So that's the quote I chose. And the reason I chose it is because we're often in lean really focused on that, be hard on the process, right? Don't blame people, you know, take a look at the process. But I think a lot of times we forget about the second part, is that all processes are done by people. Even if it's an automated process, someone has to program it, right? And that when people make a mistake or when things go wrong, we're human beings, we feel bad. So we need to actually, that's that respect for people part, right? We need to actually remember to focus also on the people. How do we help people feel better? It's not just the process. Leadership is actually about people.
I love that. When I think about kindness, I think about the word agape. It's just that open love, open caring. Because I know I saw on LinkedIn recently, you had put a post that, you know, there's a difference between being nice and being kind. Can you share with us a little bit about that?
Sure, absolutely. And I think, you know, people have a misconception that, especially in leadership, that kindness is just about being nice about, you know, even if you're not happy about something, even if results don't turn out the way you want them, you cover over that and you say, you know, oh, that's okay, don't worry about it. But actually, that's not what kindness is. Kindness is creating a better outcome for someone else. So actually, if somebody is doing the work wrong, or if somebody doesn't understand something and we don't kindly talk to them about it and help them overcome those things, then we aren't doing what we should be doing as leaders. It takes a lot more strength to do that, to have a difficult conversation, to be honest, and to do it in a way that doesn't tear someone down, but that really builds them up. So nice isn't always kind. Sometimes nice just glosses over, okay, we don't want to actually bother, spend the time or the energy or the effort to do the more difficult thing, which can be the kinder thing.
Yeah, an analogy that I heard a while back, it was in reading, I don't remember where, but the example that they gave was if somebody that you is a partner of yours and they're doing substandard work, like work not to the standard, and you just go, oh, it's okay, and then you make up for it or whatnot, eventually at some point, that's going to catch up to that person, and you've actually done more harm by not telling that person, hey, this isn't the standard, than just by covering for them. And so now they feel deceived and let down, and they're probably going to leave the organization.
I will agree with you 100%. And the thing is, kindness comes in the way we do something. So we put ourselves in somebody else's shoes and we think about, well, how would they feel? And then we want to do something, that compassion, to alleviate their suffering. We don't have to say to the person, hey, what's the matter with you? Can't you read? Like, look, here's the work standard. You didn't read this, oh, you didn't understand this. We can come to the person with a kind and open question. Hey, I've noticed that, you know, sometimes our customers are calling because there's a defect and this piece of standard is supposed to help us. You know, can you tell me a little bit about how you're following it? Oh, you don't understand? That's really the thing, is we need to assume positive intent and treat others the way they actually, this is a Skip Stewart saying, an Amir Ganad saying, treat others the way they'd like to be treated, not the necessarily the way we would.
I love that. I love that. Well, one of my goals for this podcast, Karen, is for other leaders to be able to resonate with your experiences. So can you share with us a little bit about the story about how you chose to where you are with your profession?
Sure, absolutely. And I was actually a stay-at-home mom until I was 42 years old, partially by choice and partially because I'm an immigrant from Canada and I didn't have a work permit. My husband was going to school. I have a child who has a learning difference. So at 42 years old, when everything all got sorted out, but I had 14 missing years on my resume, I had to think, okay, well, what am I going to do? I have a master's degree in sculpture. I realized I was not going to be an art professor, which turned out actually for the best. And I went to work in this payroll company. And focusing on other people, focusing on kindness, focusing on, you know, how can we make sure our customers get what they need? And working with the 60 other people who did that was like totally unbelievable. I learned lean. I went on to work as an internal consultant in many other organizations. And what I understood from that was that sometimes my values and the way I wanted to do things, not just in lean, but in the way that I wanted to create the world and run business to create differences in the world, didn't match. So when I was 55, I left and started Karen Ross Consulting so that I could actually serve people in the way I want. So I have something called right-size pricing. So if someone wants to hire me, I don't have a set fee for my services. I ask people, what's comfortable and affordable for you? Everyone has a budget. I know I am never going to turn away someone who really wants to learn, right? And big companies pay more, single people pay less. It all works out. It's not based on money. It's based on my purpose of activating and helping people create a kinder, better world.
That's so awesome. I think a couple of things that I want to draw out of that are, first of all, working for a payroll company, I think you said you had 30 or 300. What was the number of companies that you had?
I had 300 customers. I took care of
300 customers, but that's not 300 people. That's 300 organizations with hundreds or thousands of people that were dependent upon you doing good work. So I think sometimes we lose sight of the impact that our positive efforts can have on others. So if we read a book and then that book changes the way that we think and it changes the way that we engage with other people, it's called the butterfly effect, but it happens. But wouldn't you rather send out good vibes and good ripples in the world than, not so nice ones?
Absolutely. And actually, I had a very lovely discussion with some fabulous continuous improvement practitioners at the Raymond Corporation yesterday, and they read Toyota Way to Service Excellence and had a book club. And then they invited me to the last session of the book club. And one of the things that I was talking about is oftentimes, especially for people who are leading lean transformations, that they feel like if the whole organization doesn't have this giant transformation, and it could be an organization of thousands and thousands or hundreds of thousands of people, they failed. But actually, I think it's the wrong way to think about it. The basis of lean is to actually create better outcomes and serve our customers. So if you've done something that has improved the outcome for one customer, and you have no idea, if you make sure their paycheck is correct, then actually their mortgage is paid, they have food on the table, their child is going, they're paying their child's college tuition. You don't know where that's going at. Improving something for one customer is the success. And I think that's really the way we have to look at it versus that other, oh my goodness, this whole big gigantic thing didn't happen. You know, that's not what I think of success.
Yeah, that is the first time we've heard that definition of success on this show. And I think that that's going to be the standard by which everything else is matched at from here on out. So thank you for sharing that with us, Karen.
Thank you.
Well, can you share with us what you consider maybe your biggest setback with lean? I mean, it's not always, things don't always go the way that we intend, and we learn from it. So what was your setback moment, any pitfalls or mistakes that you went through, and what you learned from those opportunities?
You know, I really love it that you're asking this question, because one of the things that I often worry about is, especially when people see things on the internet, and we all, you know, see things on social media, LinkedIn, Instagram, we see people tend to post the things that go well. I actually always put stuff that didn't go well. Like even my post today, I asked someone for help on something that I this week did something, and the person sent me back this like long email about why I was wrong and what I, you know, why they wouldn't help me. The thing is, I have the same amount of things that go wrong as other people. I tried to host a conference. Actually, that didn't work out, and I lost like $12,000. Hey, it's only money. You know what I learned? I learned that actually doing things online is the way that I would prefer to do them. I put on different courses or things. Sometimes people don't register. All of these things are okay. It's part of life. And I'm not a perfectionist, so I just look at them all as a learning opportunity. Isn't that why we have PDCA? If the target and actual don't match, we have a gap, and all we do is simply think, oh, what is it that we're going to do next to either get closer to the target or reflect and say, oh, but maybe actually that isn't what I really wanted to do. Maybe it didn't suit my purpose. Maybe it didn't work because it actually wasn't part of my purpose. It wasn't doing something in a way that is true to myself.
I love the way that you call that. I love the way that you call out your personal failings and the sense of they're professional, but you owned them in a personal way of like, hey, I learned, I benefited from that. It wasn't like the company. The company obviously didn't learn because you're the company. But I think that if we were to apply some on a bell-shaped curve, the number of decisions we make right and wrong, usually there's an equal distribution of outcomes for those decisions that we make. And some are really great, some are really bad, but we got some that fit kind of just in the middle, and we learn from those, like how to improve or not to do that again, right?
Yes. And often when I'm coaching people, and it's so interesting to me that, you know, we want our first PDCA, our first countermeasure to work. I actually think it's more interesting to have something different happen than we thought was going to, because that's the place in which there's learning. If we just say, oh, okay, let's do this, and it solves the problem, all it shows me is I understood how the world works. I'm actually think it's more important to say, oh, I'm going to apply this countermeasure, and I predict that this is going to happen, and now something different happens. To me, that is not a failure. That's a success, because now I'm like, oh, I don't know why that happened. I don't understand that. I better go back and look at the current condition more closely. Now we've had an opportunity to learn.
Yeah, the only real failure from that whole situation is if you learn nothing from it and you just bulldoze through it. I mean, it's writing things down, reflecting, that period of reflection before you go for for projection is an important piece in the PDCA cycle or PDSA cycle, whichever cycle you want to take on. So Karen, there has to be a moment where like everything, like the light bulb went off for you, like an aha, eureka moment with your leaner continuous improvement journey. Can you share with us and the listeners kind of what that moment was for you and what happened? What were you going through and what did you learn from that?
Okay, so it actually goes back to the beginning of my business and it starts with, it ties into this whole idea of purpose and also about failure. So I come from an academic family. My husband is a professor. My father was a professor. Nobody is a business owner over here. So when I said, I'm going to leave the corporate world and I'm going to start my own business, everybody was a little apprehensive. And so I signed up with a government program that gave you a free business mentor. And when I talked to the person the first time, who was a retired CEO, and I told the person my idea to have Karen Ross Consulting, and I was going to ask people to pay whatever was comfortable and affordable for them, and I would be able to serve all kinds of people, the person laughed at me and said, "That is the dumbest idea I have ever heard in my entire life. Nobody is going to hire you, and you will never stay in business." And I was shocked. And I already didn't have a million tons of confidence, and I'd never owned a business, and I was 55 years old. And it took me about 3 years of working through this to actually start my own business in my own way. And what I learned from that is that the most important thing is not to listen to the voices in your head of all those others who tell you what you can't do and why you shouldn't do it and why it won't work, but to listen to the voice of your heart and to fulfill your own purpose. This is what lean is all about. It's not about telling people what we can't do. It's about looking at the target in the future and saying, this is what we need to do. Now let's figure out a way how to do that. Well, nevertheless, 5 years down the road, I'm still in business. There hasn't been a problem. Throughout the pandemic, I was able to serve many people. I've been able to help people who perhaps would not be, I thought I could have someone help me in my business. I've been able to help small businesses. I've been able to help public health agencies. Don't listen to other people who tell you what you can't do. Listen to your heart, right? That's the most important thing. Every single person is here on earth with a particular purpose to fulfill. Listen to your heart and figure out, use everything we teach everybody else in Lean. Apply it to yourself so you can fulfill your purpose.
I think that just hits home about what we talked about before we started our conversation for recording for everyone else, but talking about personal Lean leadership in the sense of like, pick who you let sit in your head from a voice perspective. Like, who is pouring positivity into you? Who is encouraging you? Who is being pragmatic with you and saying, okay, well, I don't think so, but let's run the experiment together and see what happens. Let's learn together. I love that story because I know you don't tell that in a way from, haha, look, I proved that guy wrong. It was all about proving yourself right, that you knew that you had something in your heart that had a purpose to make things better in the world, and you followed it and you trusted your instinct rather than the intellect of someone else.
Right. And it really helped me a lot in my own coaching and my own approach to people is to understand that, here was this person who was supposed to be a mentor and helping me. And actually that's not the way to help people. Who am I to say that somebody's idea actually isn't going to work? An idea is only an idea. We don't know what's going to happen until we try it out in reality. So my approach actually is to help people to try things out much more quickly. Then we're going to see what's your target. What do you, what do you want to do? Now let's see how to get to it.
So for folks that are not familiar with the methodology that Karen is talking about, she's using the Kata method of what's my target condition or PDSA or whatever you want to do it. But what's my target? What's my current condition? What's the gap keeping me from getting there? And what am I going to do? What experiment am I going to do to go learn? And how quickly can I go learn from it? And just applying that on a rapid basis. It's not just looking at a map with an X and ambling around trying to figure out. It's a very scientific method to what you're applying here, right?
Yes. And I will also say, because I have a master's degree in sculpture, it's the creative process, right? And so everybody has a dream. Everybody has an idea in their mind of something that they want to do and they wish they could do. And so often we tell ourselves, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. It won't make enough money is often the reason. I'm not smart enough. I don't have enough training. I don't have enough help. I don't have whatever it is. But the truth is, we can, because we're fabulous, smart, creative people. And all we need to do is wait, take one step towards that every day. Oftentimes, we don't do the things because we have all those voices in our head of actually leaders probably telling us what we couldn't do. Please listen to the voice of your heart and work towards fulfilling your purpose. We're fabulous, smart, creative people, you know. Just 2 days ago, didn't William Shatner go in that rocket up into space? You know, if William Shatner can go in a rocket as a space tourist, we can pretty much solve almost every other thing, I think.
He's 90 years old. That's amazing to me.
He's 90 years old, right? And I often tell this to organizations working on problems. Look, we got a rover also going around on Mars. If we as human beings figured out how to do that, we can figure out how to solve your organization's problems, right? We can speed up your HR hiring process. It's not even a problem of the same magnitude.
Yeah, I personal experience here recently with a friend trying to get medical records from Memphis to Houston, and the frustration that went with that, and just system level problems, like system issues, not personal issues, system issues. And I said out loud out of frustration, like, we can beam 4K images back from Mars to Houston, ironically, but we have to fax things from Memphis to Houston. I mean, there's gotta be a better way. And those limiting rules and those limiting experiences, those limiting things, it doesn't just affect the process. I mean, yeah, it feels comfortable for you, but the same way from a negative way to a positive way can have positive impacts, a negative way, that whole experience was very trying for my friend. I mean, it was frustrating for me just listening to it.
Yes, no, absolutely. And I think, again, this is going to go back to earlier part in our discussion, which is the definition of success is actually making things easier and better for your customer, right? That's why we want to create a better process so that your friend doesn't have that experience. When we're in a situation where there's a medical problem, we're worried. We want things to go as quickly and smoothly and not have to add any extra burden to the person at all.
Absolutely. Sorry, I didn't mean to take it down a personal level that way, but it was fresh on the heart and fresh on the mind, and it gave me an opportunity to talk about it.
Be hard on the process. Be kind to the people.
Absolutely.
Every single one of our customers is a fabulous human being. Every single one of the people who does that process is a fabulous human being. Be kind to the people.
Well, Karen, do you have a lean or continuous improvement pet peeve or something that you frequently see being applied or done wrong?
Can I tell you, this is just my own personal one. A lot of people are gonna laugh at me. I really do not like that four blocker effort impact matrix. And the reason I don't like that is because a lot of times, again, I think this is just the idea killer and a people disengager. And the reason is because we look at countermeasures or we look at things and we put them on that effort impact matrix and we say, okay, we're only gonna do the ones that have a high impact and a low effort. And I think, well, now I've discounted 75% of the actual ideas. Each idea belonged to a person. And the truth is most of them are assumptions. Well, how do I actually know that's super high effort for little impact? I didn't try it out. And I just think it's another way of just telling people what we can't do and to stay within these confines versus you could just write a whole list of all the ideas, figure out a quick way to try them out, engage the people who did it. And we don't make an assumption. We just find out what happens in reality. Some of them are going to work. Some of them are not going to work as we thought. Hey, that's okay. The ones that don't work as we thought, that's a success, right? We've learned.
Great answer. That's the first time that's come up on the podcast, and I love it. Thank you. So what do you consider the most important thing that you've learned so far in your career journey, Karen?
The most important thing I've learned is really to follow my heart, and that even if other people think I'm crazy, even if other people don't think that that is a method that will work, I have a purpose. I'm working on creating a kinder, better world and activating other people to do that. And that's the most important thing to me. So whether other people think that's crazy or not, whether other people think the methods that I'm going to use to get there is crazy or not, I need to follow my heart. I have one chance. I'm here on earth now. I have to do the things that fulfill my purpose in the way that match with my integrity.
Great answer. Perfect. I love that. What piece of advice would you give to someone who's listening to this podcast that's maybe just starting out with lean or continuous improvement?
I'm going to say, we only gain confidence from doing, right? So you can read as many books as you want, but until you try it out, you're not going to have confidence. So practice, 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 practice. If you don't have a work process to practice on, choose a home process. The very first thing that I learned to learn all the lean principles, practices, and tools, I improved my laundry process. It's the gift that keeps on giving, right? Years later. So practice. It's the only way that you're going to gain confidence and really understand something.
I love that. I know I've heard of people developing standard work for how they go about with doing the laundry. And learning from the standard work from that standpoint. Everybody wants to wear clean clothes. So, I mean, it's applicable in so many different ways. It has personal benefits, but also has real tangible benefits for the people that live with you.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you're the person who is in charge of the laundry process, what you probably don't want to do is what happened to me is spend like all weekend doing the laundry while other people are having a super fun time. So it also, like many process improvements, makes us have better relationships with other people as well.
Yeah, I think division of labor is an important thing in any relationship with a parent-child, roommates, spouses. It's important. But I also think that the respect that comes with that, with, hey, I trust you to do this. Like I trust that you're going to load the dishwasher the right way. I trust that you're going to put dishes back up the right way and where they belong. Like, you know, there's a whole 5S thing about the kitchen that we could go into from that standpoint. And then what I also love about this is like learning and asking questions like, hey, there's a better way or a new way. I love it. Chores matter, right? I mean, and writing out the standard work for how that's done can go a long way. I mean, we do it for our children when we're teaching them. Let's just go ahead and document it.
Absolutely. And, you know, so many times, actually what I hear is people say, but I don't have, I can't practice making a value stream map because there's no process at work that wants to have it. Don't wait. In Lean, we say waiting is a waste, don't we? Go home and do something at home. Go and volunteer somewhere and do something for volunteer. There's always a way to apply that theory and turn it into real learning. Do it as quickly as you can. That's what's going to give you confidence.
That's awesome. Great story. I appreciate you sharing that. Little side note on the touch of kindness. My wife and I do not own any chores in the house. We have assigned those chores to the dogs. So that way, when there's too much trash in the trash can, my wife will not say to me, hey, you need to take out the trash. She'll say, oh, Maverick didn't take the trash out again. Can you help him? And I'm like, yeah, all right, I got it. Right? And I'll look at him and say, I'm going to do this one more time for you, buddy. But come on, like, you know, all you do is sleep and eat around here. You got to contribute.
I think that's totally kind and totally creative too. I love it.
Yeah. And for those of you that are listening, some of you may think, well, I can train the dog to take out the trash. They don't have thumbs. So that can be a little challenging, right? Well, what piece of advice would you give to someone who's a little bit further along in their lean and continuous improvement journey? Maybe a piece of advice that someone gave you recently.
You know, a piece of advice that I would give is that as we get farther along in our lean journey, it's very easy sometimes, especially for people who are in internal consultants in organizations, to feel actually frustrated, right? We can see the benefits of something. We do our best as influencers without authority, because usually we are not the people in authority to get other people to see the benefits and change, and we become frustrated and discouraged when they don't. The truth is, when that happens, what I would like you to remind yourself of is that you are not responsible, and success is not only the fact that you got your organization to have a gigantic transformation. Stop. Look at the people who appreciate your help. Look at the good that you've done for customers and say, you know, that's really what success is all about. If I made things better for one customer today, that's an unbelievable success.
Great advice. So I know that you've written books. You're a well-published author. What author or book would you recommend other than your own to our listeners for if they want to learn something that's important to you or to them?
You know, I have to say that one of my favorite books is called The Book of Joy. And it's a conversation between the Dalai Lama and Bishop Desmond Tutu. And although one will not say that this is a lean book, I think that the conversation that the two of them have and what they ask us to think about is going to help each of us as a person along our life journey, along our lean journey. So that's the one I would definitely recommend to people.
Great book recommendation. We'll make sure to put a link to that in the show notes page. I love that you didn't pick a lean book. That's awesome. So good stuff. But that, and also we also have a lot of friends that are listening that are also authors, and we want to be kind and not leave anybody out from that standpoint.
I think that I haven't read a lean book that I didn't learn something from.
Exactly.
Right? So I think that you can go on Amazon, you can do a search. I think oftentimes it's the other things that help us with that. How, right? And help us with the purpose.
Well, you and I both know that magic wands don't exist, but if they did, and you could fix anything with a group or an operation that you are consulting with, what would you typically wave the magic wand at first?
I would wave the magic wand at, instead of having leaders that are focused mostly on results, which are things, I'd actually wave the magic wand so that we're focused on the means, that how we get there, because how we get there is as or more important than where we are going. And lots of times when we're too focused on the ends, the things, we forget about the fabulous people who are doing the work for us. And as I always say, giving us the gift of their time, the time of their lives, because they're never going to get that time back. And again, be hard on the process, but don't forget that second part. Be kind to the people. We so often in lean forget about that. We just say, oh, be hard on the process. Don't blame. No, actively go out there, help people, and be kind to them.
Great answer. I love that. That's first time that someone's answered it that way. I know I've said that a couple times on the podcast, but I love it that as leaders, we tend to focus on outcomes rather than the most critical inputs, which are our people and their creative process and their desire. Everyone, whether you're an artist or not, everyone has an inner desire for excellence and craftsmanship. Like, we want to do things well. No one shows up for work that day and says, I'm going to be as mediocre as I can. Like, all of us have an innate desire to be excellent at what we do.
Absolutely. No, I worked with a million businesses, a zillion businesses, and with a zillion people. I have met very few people who show up on their day and say, I don't want to do my best. And if there's some other underlying problem. We really have to help people. If you focus on the people, and you focus on helping them, guess what? Your outcome is going to probably turn out better than you imagined, right?
Than you could have possibly measured. Absolutely. Yep. Well, you have some exciting news. I know recently you have launched a endeavor that's taken some time, and you've got a new book. Can you tell us about your new book and what people will get from it?
I do have a new book, and it's called The Kind Leader, and it's a practical guide to eliminating fear, creating trust, and leading with kindness. And the reason I say it's a practical guide, because you will find that it's actually filled with exercises that you can do just in time, right along the way, as you're learning to practice kind leadership. And a lot of people say, but Karen, you're a lean practitioner. Why did you write a book on kind leadership? It's not a specifically lean book. It really does go beyond that. And the reason that I wrote it is because when you think about all of the difficulties that we've all been in lately, COVID, all of the, you know, political upheaval we've had, all those different kinds of things. If you really look at it, failures of leadership and failures of kindness, when put together, result in disastrous outcomes for all of us. Look at the climate problem that we are, climate crisis that we're having. And so I really wanted to write a book to help people put those two things together, leadership and kindness, so that in organizations, they could create places where people have trust, where what we teach people at work, they bring out into society, into their home, and create a kinder, better world. So I'm super, 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 super happy. And you will actually, because 28 very kind leaders gave their stories for this book, and you will find many people you know from the lean world in this book.
That's awesome. How can people find the book if they're interested?
If they are interested, I'm going to ask that if you can, please order from Routledge, the publisher, and I will send you a link to that. And the reason I'm saying that is because they were very kind to publish the book, so we should give them support back. And people can also, of course, find it on Amazon.
Okay, we'll make sure to put show note links, links to order the book so people can check out The Kind Leader. Finally, Karen, you've been a big help today. I love the value that you've given to the podcast. Love the kindness that you've shown to me as a podcast host and answering so many questions with me. I've had a great time with this discussion. How can people connect with you if they want to learn more about you, the work that you're doing, or if they have a question for something they heard today?
Sure, I love that. Well, first of all, you can always email me, Karen, K-A-R-Y-N, at KarenRossConsulting.com. You can visit my website, KarenRossConsulting.com. I also have a new website, KindLeadership.org. And you can please, please, please connect with me on LinkedIn. And anybody who contacts me usually will receive a response back from me in 1 hour, or at least by the end of the day.
Quickly, promptly, absolutely.
So I practice what I teach.
Thank you. So, Karen, I've had a great time today. Thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast, and I hope that we can have you back again in the future.
Thank you. I will love that. And again, thank you for your kindness of inviting me. Much, much, much appreciated.
All right. I want to thank Karen for being a guest on the podcast today. I know that I got a lot out of our conversation, and I hope that you did as well. Be sure to go to leanleadershippodcast.com. Check out the show notes page for links on how to connect with Karen or learn more about what we talked about today. As always, I seek your feedback on ways to improve the podcast. If you would, go to podchaser.com/leanleadershippodcast and leave a review for the podcast or any feedback that you have for me. As always, until next time, seek progress over perfection.
Thanks for listening to the Lean Leadership Podcast with Chris Burnham. Get more info, resources, tools, or connect at leanleadershippodcast.com.